Yud Dalad Menachemov, Thursday the 26th of July, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman. Why the principles of our faith are all in Chumash Devarim.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. The Olam again. Kol HaKavod. Now it's already summertime, and yet the Hasmana, Kol HaKavod. I'm going to speak about Sefer Dvarim, as mentioned before, but I want to start with a question. There's a rule of thumb that says that to prevent something is easier than to uproot something. I'll give you an example. If a Nazir is in a Beis HaKfaris, which he's not allowed to, so he walked in the Beis HaKfaris, does his Nazirus then become uprooted? No, he remains a Nazir. But if he's in the Beis HaKfaris and he wants then and there to start becoming a Nazir, and he took upon himself then and there to become a Nazir, so Reish Lakish says in the Gemara Nazir after Tanu Beis, no, you can't start, it can't take place in the Beis HaKfaris. But once it already started, and you wanted to uproot it, a basic force is not enough to uproot it. I'll give you another example. For Tumah to be Chal, it has to be a shear of Kezayis or Kebeitza. What happens if it's less than Kezayis or Kebeitza? So then the Tumah doesn't start. But what happens if it was a Dover Tumah, and then it got cut off and now became a less than a Kezayis? The Tumah remains. Because to prevent Tumah is easier than to uproot Tumah. So to prevent the Tumah, if it's less than a Kezayis, it won't happen. To start a brand new Tumah. But to once it is Tumah, because it was more than a Kezayis, and then it got cut off, it won't be uprooted. These are the Esfon Doraisa, the Sefer of Rabbi Yosef Engel in Klal Tes, brings tons and tons of examples for this Yisoid. That to uproot something takes more than to prevent something. Okay, the two examples that we brought are enough to bring out this idea. He brings many, many more. Based on that, I'd like to understand what Chazal say. The Chazal is in Yerushalmi in Yuma Perek Aleph. Kol dor shelo nivna beis hamikdash b'chayav, kilu nichav b'chayav. Any generation that the beis hamikdash wasn't built in its lifetime, it's like it was destroyed in its lifetime. Really? But maybe it takes less to prevent the building of a Beis HaMikdash than to destroy one. According to this rule, it could be we're not doing the averus that the Dor HaChorban did. Hi, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash because it's something new to build a Beis HaMikdash. And to prevent from a Beis HaMikdash to be built, even less averus will do it. So let's give it a level. There's averus on the severity of 5, and averus on the severity of 8, which are more. Maybe to destroy a Beis HaMikdash you need 8, but to prevent one, 5 is enough. So how could the Yerushalmi say that if a Beis HaMikdash was not built in that generation's lifetime, they're equivalent to the generation that destroyed it? Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe what to destroy takes 8, and to prevent is 5, and we're doing averus, which are on the level of 5, not 8. So why are Chazal saying we're just as bad, if it doesn't happen, Chas v'Shalom, like the generation that destroyed it? According to this rule that the Esfon Doraisa proves from many, many places in Shas, that to prevent is easier than to uproot, how do you know that we're as bad as those who had the Beis HaMikdash and they got destroyed? A good kasha, no chavre? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a good kasha? I'll give another example to this yisoy. The Gemara wants to know, could a person sell his daughter as an Amma Ivriya when she reaches the age of 12? Says the Gemara, kavach omer, he cannot. If she was already an Amma Ivriya, she comes out through Simoni Nairus. So lechatchilo should be sold as an Amma when she has Simoni Nairus? It's impossible. If Simon and Iris is enough to get her out of Avdus, for sure it's enough to prevent her from getting into Avdus. Again, the same concept. That to prevent is easier than to uproot. And if Nairus uproots her from Abdus, from being an Amma Ibria, how much more so will prevent her from becoming an Amma Ibria? That's what Moses says in Kedushin. So I'm just bringing another example to this Yisoid. And it's all, you know what? It's walks up, everywhere in life you see it. It's easier to prevent the illness than to cure one. All the doctors will tell you that. Work on yourself and make sure that you prevent the illness. Then once a person's sick, and then he has to become healthy, oh, that's a big avodah. Chazal said it in the Gemara Brachas. The person should daven on his health before he becomes ill. Because once he's ill, he needs a lot more schusim to become healthy again. But when he's preventing the machla, you don't need that many schusim as much. You need schusim, but not as much. So these are just examples to show this yesod. In America, we call it yesod. So then I want to understand then, what did Chazal mean that those who did not merit to have a Beis HaMikdash are equivalent to those who destroyed one? Right? If anybody wants to say something, bevakasha. I think it's like a Shmak HaKasha. And I'm happy that everybody in the Olam is like energized with this question. Okay? So basically, to answer this question, let's start with Sefer Dvarim. So I told Reb Dudi that the topic is going to be, as mentioned before, how come the fundamentals of our religion are in Sefer Dvarim? So I got to stick to it, right? It was already publicized, so I got to stick to it. So let's go to this Sekuda. It's taka interesting. The mitzvah of Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, worshipping Hashem, emulating Hashem, knowing that Hashem is one. You know, that very pasuk that you say in the morning and every day, twice a day, and the 6 million said it, and everyone said it. It's a pasuk that's in our DNA. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's in Sefer Dvarim. If it's such a fundamental of Judaism, which of course it is, why are all these Yisoides pushed off the Sefer Dvarim? They should have been in Sefer Bereshis. You know, once Moshe Rabbeinu comes about. But first, I want to ask everybody all the phones to put away. Can I ask such a bakasha? Okay, Chavit. No phones. Besides, I'm also putting my phone away. Yeah, I'm going to put it away. You see? No phones. Cover by some edition, cover the tire. Okay? So, everybody say. So, maybe to answer this question, let's start with the Sefer Dvarim. What's the shot that all the fundamentals of our religion are only in Sefer Dvarim? So, when you look at Sefer Dvarim, you see there's a clear difference between the way the four Chumashim were written and the fifth one. What's the main difference of both of you? Tell me. I'm sorry? Divrei Moshe, excellent. It doesn't say once in Sefer Dvarim, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Isn't that amazing? The most common pasuk that exists in Chumash, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, doesn't say once in Sefer Dvarim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is talking the whole time. So who wrote Sefer Dvarim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Moshe? It sounds like fear even to ask this question, right? You know who deals with this question? The Barbanel and Zagdama. He says, who wrote the Sefer? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Moshe? Of course, he reaches the conclusion that we all know. Of course, it's word for word verbatim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'madai. Chas v'shalom to think differently. But Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu and the way Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. All that came, so to speak, from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write, Va'eschanan el Hashem va'esahi le'emor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that. So what's the understanding of that then? If it's anywhere like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why is it written in such a different style than the first four Chumashim? So this I heard from Rami Shapira Zatzal many, many times to explain this yisoid. Whenever something is about to finish and to start a new phase, at the finishing point, you already have signs of the next phase which is about to come. You know, for example, if you're traveling from city to city, the closer you get to the city, there's more and more signs that you're about to approach it. If you're here, it doesn't say any signs here about Manchester. But when you get closer and closer and closer, you'll have more and more and more signs that you're approaching Manchester. Right? Kayadua, he would say, Rav Moshe Shapira, as it's all in a different context, that when the time before Mashiach's coming, so the closer you get to Mashiach, there'll be more and more signs of Mashiach about to come. For example, when the heart transplant, that you can take a heart from one person and put it in another person. Okay, that started like that, say 30, 40 years ago, whenever. Because we're going to get brand new hearts when Mashiach will come. So there's all kinds of signs when Mashiach is about to come that it's about to happen. There'll be signs that will let you know about this. Similarly, when we have Torah Shebikhtav, which is the written law, and then we have Torah Shebal Peh, which is the oral law, when does the written law finish? It's Sefer Dvarim. And you're about now to enter, after Sefer Dvarim is over, to the era of the Torah Shebal Peh. There's already signs in Chumash Dvarim that you're about to enter the era of Torah Shebal Peh. What is the main difference between Torah Shebikhtav and Torah Shebal Peh? What's the main difference?
The humans take over.
Huh? The humans are talking, right? It's coming from Lechor, from people. Right? You know what we say in the Gemara? Aliba de Rabbi Meir. Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. What does Aliba mean? So we translate it according. But if you look carefully in the words, what does it mean? On the heart. On the heart. Aliba. On the heart of Rabbi Meir. So meaning whenever a Tana or an Amora says an opinion, we're saying it's his heart talking. We're speaking about hearts. Now, so the Duma, Tzadik HaKohen gives a mashal. It's such a beautiful mashal. They're really to clarify this point. Regarding the question, when you open up a Daf Gemara, where's God on the Daf Gemara? I've been asked this question many times in my position in Hasmonean. I see Rava, I see Abai, I see Rashi, I see Tosfos, I see a bunch of rabbis. Where's God? Where's the Eibishter on the Daf Gemara? There's someone who wrote a whole booklet on this, Rebbe and the Tiv Aryeh, an excellent booklet. Where's the Kodesh Baruch on the Daf Gemara? I see Gilin Yashas, Rabbi Kveger, Hagoy Sabach, Rashi, Tosfos, Hagos Ranchenburg. Yeah, but where's the Kodesh Baruch? Good kasha, right? And the answer is the following, Chavah. It's connected to one of the Yisodis of our Emunah. It says Rabbi Tzadik HaKohen, a mashal, rain and dew, Geshem and Tal. Where does the rain come from? Heaven. Where does the Tal come from? It appears from the ground. In the morning when I come out, I see it on the window of my car. But I didn't see it coming down. I was up the whole night. I didn't feel it. So what's the impression that you have that where does the dew come from? From the bottom. But the truth is it comes from the Shemayim also. It does. There's no source of dew in the land. It comes exactly like rain. Just rain, it's clear cut that's coming from heaven. Dew is not so clear cut. Abel Aliba de Emes? Of course it's coming from heaven. Exactly like rain. Says Rav Tzadik HaKohen, that's exactly the relationship of Torah Shebikhtav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebikhtav is like rain. You see clearly Hashem is talking. Torah Shebal Peh is like dew. It sounds, the rabbis are talking. But it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. But the oimik of the chibur between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is specifically manifested in Torah Shebal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks through Rava, Ravadik. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks through Abaye, Abayadik. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. Just he speaks through each one in their style, in their neshama, and that's not only Abaye and Rava. There's also Reb Chaim Kanevsky. You know what? It's not even Reb Chaim, even today. When you learn a sugya and you understand something and you have a new havana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delivering the message through you. And that the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Chacham Adif Minavi. What does it mean? A Chacham is higher, superior than a Navi. You know what the Ramban explains there? On Daf Yud Beis Amud Basra? Again, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal will always quote this Ramban. I heard it from at least 50 times. She yoydim es ha'emes beruach ha'koydesh shebekirbam. What Chachamim says also Ruach HaKodesh. Like a Navi. This is Ruach HaKodesh, that's Ruach HaKodesh. Just by a Navi, the Ruach HaKodesh is coming from outside. By a Chacham, the Ruach HaKodesh is coming from inside. But it's the same source. Exactly like Geshem and Tal. Bidiyuk. And this, the Leshem speaks about it in Sefer Deah. This is mamash, the yisurdus of our emunah. That's the only reason why the Torah said to go after Chachamim, whatever they say. So the Maral and the Siva Torah, Perek Yud Aleph, brings out this yisurd again, that someone who's a Chacham, do we have the undivided attention of everybody with no phones? No phones, guys, no phones. Okay? A few minutes, we're going to finish in a few minutes. The Maral and the Siva Torah, Perek Yud Aleph, goes and says that a Chacham is not someone who knows Torah. It's not someone who knows Torah. You know what a Chacham is? A real type of Chacham? He's a shtick Torah. He's a Torah himself. And he proves it from the Gemara and Makis that a Chacham is, that's what, he explains, Rabba says, look how foolish people are. The Gemara and Makis, Dafkav Gimel, that when a Sefer Torah goes by, they all stand up. And when a Talmid Chacham goes by, they don't stand up. It's so foolish. The Torah is said to give 40 lashes, and the Chacham is said to give 39, and we give 39. That's what Rava says. Says the Maral, you know what Rava said? There's no way to say that 40 means 39. It's not Pshuta Shemikra. 40 is 40, 39 is 39. So we say, you mean you build it up to the 40th and you stop there? But if the Torah wanted to say 39, she would have said 39. Why does it say 40? But that's the besur that Chazal have. If Chazal wouldn't have been equivalent to the Torah, then you wouldn't have been able to say that when the Torah says 40, it means 39. You couldn't say that. With all the drushes that you have. But since Chazal are also Torah, so it's like two pesukim contradicting each other. One pesuk says 40, one pesuk says 39. Okay, so we'll work it out. Like you have in matzahs. It says sheshes yom tochal matzahs. It says shivas yom tochal matzahs. How do you work it out? So Chazal, work it out. But if Chazal wouldn't have carried the weight of a pasuk, they couldn't say that number 40 means 39. Maral speaks about this in the Sifat Torah, Perek Yud Aleph. It's a very, very known Maral. In the Sefer Nesivos Salem, the first Nesiv is called the Sifat Torah, and it's there, Perek Yud Aleph. So let's go back to it again. Torah Sheba'al Peh is also a Kodesh Baruch Hu talking, like Tal. It's coming from heaven, but it looks like it's coming from here. That's really what's so special about Gedolei Yisrael and Talmidei Chachamim, and regular Yidden, when they learn of Pshat in the Gemara, and they come up with a new Chiddush. So we think it's ours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you a message. That's how we really believe in this. Meimel Rabbi Yisai, Torah Sheba'al Peh is something, as we mentioned before, it's the heart of the Mekabelim. So since Sefer Dvarim is the transition point, it's the last shtickle of Torah Shebaksav, and we're about to enter Torah Sheba'al Peh, you have already Torah Sheba'al Peh Dike, Torah Sheba'al Peh Dike Simanim, already in Mishnah Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was talking, because that's what Torah Sheba'al Peh is about, that the rabbis and the Chachamim are talking. But it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Absolutely! So by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Imamish, it's called Torah Shebaksav. And by Chazal, it's Torah Sheba'al Peh. But the source is exactly the same. So the focus of Sefer Dvarim then is the heart of the Mekabelim. Rachmana Libaboy. The Gemara Sanhedrin, right? Daf Kufav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the heart. So all the focus of Chayvus Halvovos, all our heart, the duties of the heart, it's a Sefer, right? Are in Sefer Dvarim. The relationship mitzvahs, which are between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ava, Yira, Avoida, acknowledging exactly who he is, that was all pushed off to Sefer Dvarim. Because Sefer Dvarim is the focus there is the heart of the Mekabel. And since we're dealing with hearts, that's Torah Sheba'al Peh, so we're dealing about relationships. And all the mitzvahs which are about relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are focused in Sefer Dvarim. I said that's the pshat. So now let's go back to the question that we started off with. How could Chazal compare the generation that did not have the Bris of English built in it to the generation that destroyed it? It takes a lot more to destroy something than to prevent something, as the examples that we gave. So let's go into the Seguda. What is... I hope everything's still working here.
1 second.
Yeah?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. It's one way to get everybody awake, huh, guys? Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Rabbi says, so what is the reason? What's the crux of Beis HaMikdash? Why do we have a Beis HaMikdash? What is Mechayev a Beis HaMikdash? Why does there have to be a Beis HaMikdash? What's the crux of it? So Chazal, I'll tell you what Chazal say. Chazal say in Shmoyis Rabbah, Lamed Gimel Aleph, a very known medrash, I'm sure all of you heard of it many times already. Oh, speaking about the Mishkan, it says, what does it say? Mashal Melech, a parable to a king. Right? That had a daughter that reached a marriageable age. And after the daughter, and a younger king came to get married to her. Right? And after a while, after the Sheva Brachas or the wedding, whatever it was, the young king wants to go back to his kingdom with his newlywed wife. And the father tells him, the Midrash doesn't quote it, but I'm sure if you picture it, that's probably what happened. The father tells him, you know, gee, I really should have told you this before we got involved with each other. I'm sorry, but I got something to tell you. Yeah, what do you have to say? The daughter that I gave you, she's my only daughter. I don't have anyone else.
Yeah,
I know that. I cannot separate from her. So to tell you not to take her, I can't because she's your wife. But to let her go, I can't either. So we're a little bit in a pickle. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Again, I don't know how young couples today would appreciate it. You know what we're going to do? Wherever you go, I'll come along. It will be the three of us. Because I cannot let go of my daughter. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. I gave over to you my Torah. To withdraw from my Torah, I cannot. To tell you don't take her, I cannot. So wherever you go, I'll come along. V'asuli mikdash v'shachati b'seichem. That's what the Midrash says. So what's the mechayev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelling amongst us? The Torah. Now, if I would ask you, the daughter represents Torah. Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebalpeh, both, neither, what would you say? This daughter is representative of what? Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebalpeh, or what? So, Belishim Zavik is Torah Shebalpeh. Why? It's referring to a daughter that's going to get married to Am Yisrael. Aisha's Rishus Baila. Which Torah is under our authority? Which Torah, so to speak, left HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain and joined our domain? Balpeh. We call the shots. Nitzchuni bona, nitzchuni bona, lo b'shamayimi. The Torah Shebiksav never left HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's ours still with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Torah Shebalpeh, that left. So what do we see? That what's in the mechayev of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, of Shechina of Israel? How would you say it in English? What's the mechayev? How would you say that in English?
Obligates.
What, obligates? Yeah, not so geschmack, huh? Okay, is that obligates? What obligates it?
Compels.
What compels it? Very good. What is it? Rabbi said, what compels it is that we have the Torah Shebal Peh. It's ours. It's married to us. We call the shots. Again, outside this Beis HaMikdash, I don't know, with British values, if I'm allowed to say that the husband calls the shots, and the Isha Bishus Baila, I don't know if today that's... But I'm just saying what the Torah says. Yeah, today it won't go so well. But right, maybe where I teach I can't say it, but here I could. Nachon? Aisha's Bishus Baila. At least we agree, right? I don't know if our wives agree, but we agree. Aisha's Bishus Baila. So Mele, we're speaking about Torah, which is Bishusenu. You know how come, therefore, whoever didn't merit the Beis HaMikdash, it's called he destroyed it? Hi, it's easier to prevent something than to uproot something. It's easier to prevent something when it's something new that's about to start. I'll read to you the Lashon that I have here of the Esron Deraisa. The Dovah Godolu Yoter Leafkia, it takes a lot more to uproot, Ma Shechalkvar Melimnoa Chalois Chadasha. Just something new, we'll stop it. You want to become a Nazir when you're in the Beis HaKfaris? That won't happen. You're already a Nazir and you enter the Beis HaKfaris? Fine. I mean, fine, but it won't be uprooted. But if you want to start a brand new Nazirus when you're in the Beis HaKfaras, that won't happen. That's all when it's brand new. But at Beis HaMikdash, we have the Kodesh Baruch Hu's daughter already for the last 3,300 years. All the ingredients are here. No one can uproot that part. It's not a brand new thing. If the Beis HaMikdash, Im Yetzer Hashem, will be built, it will be something new? It will be Panim Chadoshes Ba'olam? Absolutely not. We already had one, and a second, and Yetzer Hashem, the third one, B'mehera B'yameinu, and we always have the ingredients which compel to have a Beis HaMikdash. So it's not something brand new that's going to start from scratch. That's not what Beis HaMikdash means. The relationship that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu from a long time ago already set the tone that a Beis HaMikdash should be here. And if it's not here, you're rejecting one, but not preventing one. Rejecting one, not preventing it, that's called Nichrav. It's pushing the Havana what a new Beis HaMikdash means. A new Beis HaMikdash doesn't mean we're going to have a new era and something brand new. Rather, we're going to go back to what we were supposed to be from day one anyway. In that kind of case, if it doesn't happen, it's not just avoiding something new to take place, but it's taking something which is here and breaking it and uprooting it and rejecting it. Because that's the relationship that you didn't have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is exactly that. So let's just sum up what we learned today. What's mechayim that there'll be a Beis HaMikdash is the Torah Shel Alpeh. Sefer Dvarim is all about Torah Shel Alpeh. It's Moshe Rabbeinu talking from beginning to end. It doesn't say once, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Leimor. Right? The Ramban says in the beginning of Dvarim, and I mentioned before, that the Chidushi Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu are also incorporated to Sefer Dvarim. Allah is Chidushi, the Na'al Kodesh Baruch Hu told me, you write down your own Chidushi. That's what Ramban says, Mamash, in the beginning of Pasha's Dvarim. So Sefer Dvarim is the introduction, so to speak, to Torah Shel Alpeh. Rabbi, I'll prove it to you. Also, it's Moshe and Yeshua. Moshe is called Pnei Chama, and Yeshua is called Pnei Levana. Right? So Yeshua is in charge of Torah Shel Alpeh. You know, there's a gracious rabbi, the Netziv quotes in his Agdama to Chumash Dvarim, that Yeshua was always going around with the Chumash Dvarim. The whole time he had in his pocket, Chumash Dvarim. What's the affinity between Yeshua and Chumash Dvarim? It says, Yosef Dvarim is Sugnan Li Yeshua. That's the Lashon of Chazal. Again, it all means this Nakuda. It means that it's the introduction. From here, you're going to go into Torah Shel Alpeh. The next stage will be Mishnah. What's the name of Sefer Dvarim? What's one of the other names of Sefer Dvarim?
Mishnah
Torah. Exactly. So already the concept of a Mishnah, is already in Sefer Dvarim. Therefore, all the hearts, the heart of the Makabel is the focus of Sefer Dvarim, and therefore all these mitzvahs were pushed off to Sefer Dvarim. And consequently, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's something that should have been there already, and it's not there. It's not preventing something new, but rather avoiding something to take place, and that's like a churban. But Beis HaMikdash, we should be zoicha. You know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch from tonight onwards? Who knows what it says in the Shulchan Aruch from tonight onwards? I'm sorry? You have to learn every night a little bit more. No, boys, I want to tell you again with this. I want to conclude. In my mind, I mentioned already a few times, the biggest two opposites, more than black and white, and Sadik in Russia, is August Elul. Think about it. August. Hey, no God in August. No Minyanim. No August. I'll put on Tefillin. I'll wake up whenever I want. August. And what does El represent? Elul! Rosh Hashanah's around the corner! You have a Mishpat and Chaim and Misa ahead. If someone has a Mishpat 3 months in advance about money, monetary issues, he already consults with lawyers, what should I do, what should I say, what, if the judge says this, what should I answer, what should I do, what, right? It's Dinei Chaim, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Sohim Levonav. August. We live in a Goyish culture. Most of El this year is August. It's Hashem Yirachem. You know, one of the signs of Shofar is, one of the reasons was, the Rambam said, why do we blow Shofar? Uri Yesheni. this month will be an Elul Kipshuta. People will be sleeping in bed. And they're going to Moshe from maybe from bed. Uli Yishayim, Kipshuta. But boys, I just remember, even if you go on holiday for sure, well-deserved holiday, like they say here. Yet deserved, nish deserved, lom shenem, everybody, they say it's deserved. Remember, hey, there's a mishpat around the corner. So for the month of August, I'm going to forget about everything. And then I'm going to come back a week before Rosh Hashanah. Hey, Mr. Achme! Who are you bluffing? Who are you bluffing? Because Moshe doesn't see right through that. This fake show. There's fake news. There's fake Elul. Diamonds. Fake Elul. Hello, hello. And a week before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Slicha, Mechila. So the Shulchan Aruch says that from tonight, as mentioned before, already you have to add every night to learn a little bit more than the previous night. The 100%, the Grand Tainis. Exactly. In Tubav, exactly. That's what it is. So, Chavet, so we should all be Zoyche to enjoy our holiday still. But to keep it Tzura B'Yir. Call to it.